Yes, I will take Ravi's question first.
Morning.
Yes,
This
Ravi,
topic is
one
really
second.
good.
Just a sec, please, because for some reason I'm not able to see you. Just give me a sec. Divya, could you spotlight Ravi for me, please? Anyway, okay, go ahead, Ravi.
Yeah, this topic is very good, and I do learn a lot from two, three masters like Swami Ramdas, Ramana Maharshi, and Nisargadatta Maharaj. There is no free will. Earlier, I was fighting a lot to have free will. Means I was trying to have that will that I will go somewhere, I will have something. Now I surrender to almost 80%, and there is a now new conflict that whether I do have free choice or not, because free will is like I cannot choose my parents' location, birthplace, caste or religion. That is fixed. Now, on day-to-day basis, I have to choose my job, my work, my clients, whether they are good or not, or where I have to move, south or north or east or west, whether I have to move by because I am now wanderer, so I have to choose whether I should move by walk or by bicycle or by hitchhiking. So all the decisions I want to take without sacrificing the goal of a spiritual journey, because if I compromise or sacrifice something, then my spiritual journey may hamper. And there is, of course, seeking of that goal in faster way, and I do not want to affect it in any way. That if I could achieve it in 6 months, then I should not waste 6 more months by taking wrong decision. So there is a stress on me of wrong or right decision, and I do not know whether the decision will be perfect. And because of that, I'm thinking a lot. And of course, there is a projection of future of getting that thing and having a right decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Ravi. Very well said. And you have articulated this issue which everyone faces on this path. You see, maybe the recording was not really appropriate. The connection was weak. This was the same point I was emphasizing, that the only difference is the sage knows that he must exercise free will in daily living, he must make choices. In other words, he has to act as if he has free will, knowing that he doesn't. Nothing changes. We, of course, want to take the right decisions and we use our intellect, our buddhi. But you see, the difference is the sage does not have any stress about whether it's a right or wrong decision because he knows ultimately God's will prevails. And my decision-making process is part of that will. So if there is success upon taking the decision, he will feel pleasure for sure, but he will not feel pride or arrogance because he does not think my decision led to this. Similarly, if there is failure as a result of that decision, there will be no guilt or shame. An absence of pride and arrogance, guilt and shame means peace of mind. That is what happens. The sage has to take decisions every day, but he is now free of this burden of doership.
In case of Ramdas Swami from Kanchanagar, Kerala, I realized that he was getting prompted moment to moment to take a call. And we, as a normal human being, there is no prompting from within. We just have to use our intellect, intelligence, reasoning, logical things to see the false versus true or right thing, perfect thing, which is
Yes.
80%, we go with that 80%.
Yes.
So in that case, there is stress. Yes, we can drop that result-oriented mind, but whether it's taking in the right direction. And the worst thing is, we have to wait for the right call, because I realize, or we realize after discussion with one of friend, that not the two three steps at a moment. So you have to wait for that step then you on that step, then the second step will arrive or reveal after some time, 6 months, 2 months, 3 days. So whether I am not certain whether that step has come, or I have to take that call, or I have to wait. Because of that waiting, there is a stress. And yes, again, the same thing that I am.
That is what life and living is about. We will always be at that 80% in that sense, because we don't know what the next moment will bring, pleasure or pain. That is our learning in life. To be aligned with the outcome. Even if the outcome is not in our favor, is to live a life of peace and equanimity. Not my will, O Lord, but thine be done. I tried my best. I decided based on my buddhi, my intellect, the factors which you gifted me with, but I didn't get the result I hoped for. The sage accepts this. The ordinary person fights this. That is the difference. I'll tell you something very interesting which happened recently in a three-day retreat. Someone who attended the retreat had herself conducted a retreat on painting, art. And she said the retreat went very beautifully. But out of all the participants, there was one participant who really troubled them, who complained about everything, who was difficult, a challenge to deal with. And she said it was so beautiful except for that one participant. If that participant was like the others, it would have been a perfect retreat. And I said, no, this is the perfect retreat. That one participant will always be there. That is our learning. That is our test. This is perfection. Imperfection is perfection. How we deal with it, our attitude to what life brings us, is where we find our peace. When we get aware of this fact that I can truly only decide what to do, that action I must make, the results are in God's hands, and so is my decision. The sense of relief you will feel, Ravi, you will feel such relief while going through the decision-making process in the future. You will feel this burden is lifted from you. It is really amazing to feel that. Of course, we all have to earn a living. We will be stressed about job situation. That is the part of life. But that extra anxiety and stress and psychological suffering will no longer operate. All right?
Yes.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Is that Era? Era?
Morning, Gautam.
Morning.
Yes, Era, doesn't matter Era. Though. So basically, my question is from a different subject. Is that okay to ask, or do we stick to the subject because I'm here for the first time?
Well, if it's something to do with rocket science, I may not be able
no,
to.
No, no,
but,
no. What I meant to say is free will and destiny.
Sure.
So thank you. First of all, I've got a comment and then I've got a question. So I basically saw one of your YouTube videos recently, beginning of February. And, you know, I was really attracted to the Nishchal Tattva, which is talked about in you, because I'm on this path for like good 7 years or so, 7, 8 years. And before that, didn't have any much information about that. And for 1 year, I've been on kind of what you say, Gyan Marg of Ramana Maharishi. So, you know, that deep peace, that Nishchal Tattva was, I could see it in you, and really I was attracted to it. So I'm here today for the first time, and thank you for letting me here. And my question was related to a strong conditioning which I've got. And I would like to ask you whether, you know, Is there something you'll suggest, something which can be done about it? So right from beginning, you know, when it is in your mind, you're conditioned in a way that you should work hard. So hard work is something like, just like the saying goes, just don't sit there, do something. So I've got that in me that, you know, and I like to work hard, even in my profession at home. Like where I live, I have to do all the housework, everything, because outside India, it's not possible. So I'm spending a lot of time doing intense work. And then I justify, because I know my real purpose of life is to know the truth. So what I do is then, like, I've done intense work of 4 5 hours, then I justify myself 2 3 me time, and that me time is just contemplating, reading, listening about Advaita. So my feeling is, because I'm come to that stage in life that I want to just devote quite a lot of time on this. So, but my chanchal tattva, that thing of activity, which is so you know, conditioned in my mind, so I'm programmed that way, that at times I do struggle with it, and I feel a sense of relief having worked very hard as well. So, you know, I wanted to ask you, my ego, that's my sense of completion the ego gets by working, and I'm aware of that, and I've kept an eye on it all the time and looked at it recently since I've become aware of this awareness thing. And I just know it, and I'm not able to do. I can try to convince myself, what was Ramana Maharishi doing in this unreal world, in this mithya world? He was so kind of things, but still the conditioning is very strong. So I thought I might as well ask you. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
much. Took a
Thank you,
lot of time to
Ira.
ask.
Thank you. Is Ira your real name?
Yes.
Nice. Unique.
Thank you.
Ira, it's again a very nice question you have asked. I am not an
Thank you.
expert on Ramana Maharshi, but be very happy to clarify this confusion. You see, there are some people, some body mind organisms, who can do the work of 10 people? They are made that way. Now, if it is their natural instinct, why would they go against it? You see, Ramana Maharshi himself said, peace through work is achieved when you realize it is not you who are doing the work, but the current that is doing the work through you. Which means the sense of doership, I am doing the work, is removed. So I would tell someone who loves working, whose natural instinct is to work hard, that please go ahead because you are made that way. If the world is telling you, oh, you should not be working hard, you should spend time quietly, it's a lack of understanding. If you are feeling fulfilled, if the work is productive, by all means, because everyone is not gifted with this. Secondly, life has phases. You may reach a phase where you don't feel like working that hard anymore, naturally, not because what you have acquired that people say you must take time off, you must do this, must do that. You have to go with what you are feeling. If you feel that, oh, I'm enjoying hard work a lot, but I must take time for myself. You have to decide. But it is not a hard work is not a problem. It is a gift. My own teacher, when people would come to him and he would ask them, what are you doing? And they would say, nothing. Nothing for now, nothing for the last 2 years. Sometimes he would advise them to take up some work. Maybe even social work, going to an orphanage or social service. Why? Because as he would say, when there's nothing to do, the focus becomes the me only. It becomes a very self-centered living. Whereas if one takes it away from the me gets diminished because your focus is on something else. You see, so everything has its place. Ira has to decide. Can I conduct my spiritual discovery journey side by side with my work So be it. If she feels that her preference is now for the spiritual path and the work is hampering it, she has to decide, can I actually work less? If she finds it a struggle to work less, why does she have to work less? As it is, in deep sleep, Ira is not working. You see, that is natural rest. So honoring what is, honoring one's nature, honoring the fact that now the spiritual dimension has opened up, trusting that it will decide, it will lead the way, it will determine whether I work less or not. Ira does not take this burden upon her shoulders. She goes with the flow of life. Like my teacher would say, go with the flow like H2O. The minute we start taking control of this, oh, I am the one working very hard. Now I am the one responsible for my spiritual journey. I must do this. I must do that. We are blocking that flow. When we see, maybe over the last 6 months, 1 year, whatever period, as far as you are concerned, there has been some transformation in some sense, some new understanding, new discovery. One just has to present oneself to that. Now, you see, Ramana Maharshi sat on his couch and someone asked him that, how can you sit there all day? You should be doing something for the world. And he replied, I'm paraphrasing him, what makes you think I'm not? Different sages had different nature. Now, if you take Anandmayi Ma, she went across the length and breadth of the country, gave satsangs, established ashrams, because that was her nature. That was her role, you could say. So the problem is when we try to become something we are not. That creates stress and confusion for us. And you may find that I love work and I love rest, then you decide how to balance the two. But allow it to happen. Don't try to step on the gas. Don't try to put more doership on this situation. Don't think too hard.
That's
Try not
fantastic.
to, rather, not don't think too hard, try not to.
Try not to.
And you'll be amazed at how the universe will decide all this.
Fantastic. No, very good.
Yeah,
Yeah.
now, Sri Aurobindo himself stressed upon work. He said meditation is for the internal journey, but work, karma yoga. I read a beautiful booklet on karma yoga by Aurobindo. That so much understanding and learning happens through work. Because work means also my relationship with the work and my relationship with people I'm working with. So much understanding transpires through work. So that is the external. What my teacher called engaging with the world and getting an understanding of relationships with people, with my job and with myself through daily living.
No, very clear, very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank
I think
you.
you've lifted the burden off my shoulders because you've told me leave it to nature, which is beautiful, isn't it?
Yes,
Because I'm
yes.
not the doer anyway, which
No,
I think I am.
no,
My ego thinks at times.
exactly. You know, it's very easy. I keep facing this challenge. People say we've understood the concept of non-doership as far as others are concerned. Like if someone hurts me, I see that it was God operating through that person. But as far as I am concerned, I still think I'm the doer. You know,
True,
so I don't
true.
want people to feel bad. I don't want this. I don't. So that is still the halfway mark.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Non-doership, there's no me versus the other. It's just a complete annihilation of this whole pedestal of doership.
Which is hard, but yes, it will come
Yeah,
slowly. It's being
yeah.
hammered in. Yeah.
Yes, it does take time
Yeah, true.
because my teacher would say fresh conditioning has to override decades of earlier conditioning. It is a gradual process, thankfully, because sometimes when it's sudden, it can be a bit difficult and challenging. Some transformations have been very sudden and therefore challenging. The gradual way is better. By and by, you will start seeing life with this fresh conditioning. You will, when interactions, when conflicts happen with people, this new conditioning will start stepping in, and it will happen naturally. That is what happens.
सहज पक्के सुमीठा होवे वाली दैट इज
Yes.
माइंड विद द से नो राइट
Yes.
मेक सेंस आई ऑलवेज टेल माय सेल्फ या लेट इट जस्ट राइप इन इट्स ओन टाइम ट्रू
Yes. Yes.
थैंक यू
Right? Thank you.
अप्रिशिएट दैट
Thank
थैंक
you. Thank
यू
you. Yes, Holger. Long time no see.
Hello, Gautam. Yes, beautiful. Have no direct question, but I just wanted to express my gratitude and just how beautiful satsang is. It's amazing. I mean, and what an intimacy. Don't know what I want to say right now, but it's just gratitude here, and it's really. It's on my side, it was space. It's very, seemed very slowly, always. But just to the gift of being aware of presence, it's just amazing because it's so subtle, so simple, and it's always there.
It is truly simple.
Yeah.
The mind really loves to complicate this whole thing. I mean, it is as simple as our deep sleep.
Yeah,
It's
it's
amazing.
effortless.
It's amazing.
But then, interesting to see how I get distracted, how then my mind becomes more engaged, and then the words become more important.
So true.
But it's just, yeah,
That's
beyond
amazing.
words.
Even that is seen. That
Yeah.
is really seen, really. You know, there was a
And
song in our teenage years which we heard. I'm sure it's somewhere on YouTube or something. It was called Words by F.R. David. And it, the main line was, words don't come easy to me. Honestly, I feel they don't come easy to anyone, even those who speak a lot, because words are nothing but just conditioning which is being blurted out by the mind all the time. Heavy conditioning, bombardment of conditioning from day one. Whereas everyone's natural state is silence, is peace. The peace of the baby, the Bal Krishna, when none of these concepts had developed, language had not developed. And resting in being is just that. When this compulsion to generate words quietens down.
but also the beauty of words.
True.
Yeah.
The beauty of words when they are not based on doership.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Pleasure to see you.
Ditto. Thank you.
Yes, Dipti.
Namaste, Gautam ji.
Namaste.
First of all, my sincere gratitude to you and to your team. So, I don't know whether this is my question or based on today's topic, I'm still thinking that do I have any free will? So, like I'm on my spiritual journey, it's more than 5 years now, and the problem is it's not just one path that I'm following, but again, Baba's devotee, wherever I go, I come back to Baba's teaching and his guidance. But as we know that Baba is no more in his body, or any guru he has that actually tell us the path of Baba. But I just want what do I say that as sometimes I just get confused that where my spiritual journey will stop, where like you have said, your path should be where you feel the peace of mind in daily living. But on the contrary, you have also said that it's better to deep dig a deeper well rather than digging a small well. So apart from those two spiritual paths, I'm highly influenced by teachings of Ramana Maharishi, Ramakrishna Paramhans, and like the book you suggested, Autobiography of Yogi. So I still sometimes I doubt myself again that am I doing the right thing by doing so, or 100% surrender to Baba. So
Okay, thank you, Dipti.
thank you, Gautam.
See, am I doing the right thing? You cannot do a wrong thing simply because you are not doing it. This understanding is crucial. Now, tell me if I am a devotee and disciple of Sai Baba. What is the harm if I find Ramana Maharshi's teachings resonating
Yeah.
with me and whoever it may be? It is
There is no
giving me
harm.
new insights. It is, resonating. It is giving me a deep peace, right? The problem is if I am not sure what I am looking for, then I will keep searching. As Maharaj would say, then I am digging shallow wells all over the land. You see? So, whether it is a living teacher, whether it is a master who's dropped their body, whatever it may be, when my criteria is peace of mind, sukha shanti, and I feel something is aiding that, contributing to that, I absorb it. My allegiance is with Baba, my surrender is with Baba, of course. In this case, Baba would represent the Sadguru, the Guru, which is consciousness, as reflected upon teachers or masters, eventually turns to the Guru within. You see? So the thing is that if you feel you are getting more confused by listening to many masters, then there is a problem. Then you need to pick one, whoever it may be, where this is where I find the most peace. And then that is what Maharaj means, dig a deep well. You see, so this is something to watch out for, because then, Dipti, what can happen is there will be no end to the seeking, and you'll keep coming across different teachers, and it's all very endearing and enthralling. Because now one's spiritual journey has begun, so one wants to read a lot and all that happens. But as long as now you know my criteria is peace of mind, sukha shanti, then I know where I feel it's, oh, just entertainment which is drawing me and I'm not really getting anything, then I keep that aside. But this journey is not your journey. This spiritual journey has been determined by the source.
Right.
So we don't even need to try and control it. It will flow and happen the way it is meant to happen, as ordained by Sai Baba, as far as you are concerned. You have to trust that it will guide you to the right people, right path, right understanding, but with this criteria in mind. Okay.
Thanks, Gautam. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, Prasad.
I'm audible?
Yes. Am I?
Yeah, you're audible.
Thank you.
Thank you for your gracious teachings and throwing light upon many saints in your playlist. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. So I want to ask the question, if we are born with many incompletions, conditioning, why everyone is born with that? Why every time? So if everyone is born with that, why won't we accept naturally that it's okay?
That is the question.
Why the majority is hanging towards one thing and the minority, which is like self-realized person or which is clinging to the cognition of self, is in what we say a small quantity.
Yes.
Why there is a major indifference every time? And the, another question I want to ask, like, if we want to cling to a God's will, how we can predetermine it? Why don't waste time like in trial and error method?
Amazing. I agree with you completely on both fronts. Why are the self-realized masters a minority? Even I would like to know. You see, the first point is as my teacher would say, a painting can never know why its painter painted it. This why are things this way? That why question, when that dissolves, because we will never know the answer, then a path appears before us. Of course, we would love it if everyone was self-realized. Why do we have to go through all this? And as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, out of millions and millions, only some are chosen for the path. And out of those, only one knows me in true essence. That is the way it is, because this is the Leela. This is the fragmentation of consciousness as a whole, which is operating through everyone, through the manifestation, understanding and learning about itself. That is what life and living is. It seems unfair to the me, especially the me which is suffering. Why me? Why are you doing this to me? What have I done wrong? That is the journey of life. And then in some cases, as Ramana Maharshi says, if not the first blow in life, then the second. If not the second, then the third. At some point, the ego realizes this is not what life is about. Everything is transient. Everything is shifting. Everything is changing. What is it which is not changing? What is it I can call my own? That is the start of the spiritual journey. So when we accept this as the design of life, this Leela, this play, and you could say that when we realize that our only task, if you could call it that, is to navigate through life's journey with peace of mind, where we are not adding on psychological suffering in our daily living, by and by, a boat is going through the river and journey of life is taking place in equanimity. As my teacher would say, all we can do is look at our own attitude to life, because what happens in life, we have no control over. So then what happens is the journey is now within. Attitude to life means what is in my consciousness, what is going on in my head, what is going on in my thinking. So that becomes an internal journey. And then we realize this perfection, there's no such thing, because everything is perfect as it is with all the imperfections in it. Why is everything perfect? Because nothing is apart from the source, and the source is perfect. The source is total, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, which appears as imperfection to me. In deep sleep, do I say the world is imperfect?
No.
So who is this who says things are imperfect? You see?
That I factor.
The me.
Ego. Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you. What you've asked is very right, actually, especially when we see people suffering. The ego wants to know, forget me suffering, someone else suffering. But then the ego realizes I will never know the will of the source. Not my will, O Lord, but thine be done, as Jesus himself said on the cross. When he says, God, why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
I am on the cross. And next statement is, not my will, O Lord, but thine be done. That is the surrender of the thinking mind.
Right.
Was there anything unaddressed in your two questions?
Mainly like last part, like how to predetermine it henceforth, so that we would not waste time in indulge in other things.
Ah, so then the ego wants to be God. Ego does not want to waste time. Again, very valid point, very valid question. But as Ramana Maharshi said, when there's no such thing as time, how can you waste it? Which means, going behind the words, there's really nothing like a waste of time in that sense, because when we realize each day is a learning, each event is a learning, each interaction is a learning, it is not a waste of time.
No, not but it is a waste of time, but how to, means it was not that part, how to align it in that direction.
This with whole teaching is about alignment.
No, with experience or with like, naturally, it would take with the flow. That is the thing.
No one will know what the next moment can bring. Where's the question of me doing any predetermined action consciously?
Yeah, that is the thing.
Or you pursue the path of Siddhis, find the Siddha Yoga master.
Okay.
It is not going to happen.
Right, right.
Yes, I agree with you at one level. Time is short, the number of breaths are predetermined, and I want to utilize that time to the best of my ability. That's all I can do. That's really all I can do. But whether something is a waste of time or not, I don't know, because that is also a judgment.
Right. It is also a judgment of ego.
It is a judgment because I am deciding it's a waste of time. I don't know how karma operates, what are my rinanubandhans, what actions have to take place. How do I know? My understanding is very limited. You see, it reminds me of when Ramana Maharshi asked, I think it was Annamalai Swami, I hope I have not got the name wrong, who did a lot of building in the ashram. And Bhagwan said, I'm working out, not I'm working out, your karma is being worked out through all this activity of building. And the day it has to stop, I will come and tell you. So we don't know the river of action, reaction, cause, effect, what makes us do actions. We don't know what is a waste of time, what is not a waste of time. But this labeling something as a waste of time starts reducing. Now, obviously, for example, if you find yourself watching Netflix all day, it's pretty clear that it's not productive.
Yeah.
You see, those are very obvious things, but we are going into the into the subtle things. We are exploring the spiritual dimension, peace of mind, sukha shanti, and on that path, what do we classify as a waste of time and not a waste of time?
Okay. So it cannot be predetermined. It just going
See,
with the flow.
According to me, it can't, but you might meet a teacher tomorrow who says it can. Then do let me know also, because I'd like to listen to his satsangs or hers.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, Krishna.
Namaste, Gautamji.
Namaste.
This is my first time being part of one of your live sessions, so I'm honored to be part of it. And thank you so much. I've been watching many of your videos, and your teacher, Ramesh Ji, has changed my life. So I just want to say thank you so much for being part of the parampara.
Thank you.
So is it okay if, so Ramesh Ji always said, thy will be done, right?
Well, those are the words in the Bible, but yes, he did say that.
Yeah, so how is this? I'm going to do something a little bit different. Just like you said, you never know what's going to happen. And I would like to just introduce the mantra for everyone so that you'll never forget that ever again, okay? Is it okay with you?
Sure.
Here we go. Anyway, I just wanted to sing something like that because, you know, they say Saraswati Devi is speech, but she's not just speech, she's also music too.
Sure.
And sometimes, yeah, and sometimes these kind of musical things can really help us remember the message. And I just wanted to, that's all. I just wanted to share that with the group because I know they understand what this means. And na aham karta hari karta means I'm not the doer. The universe, Gayatri Devi, you know, is the doer. And so it's just all just resonating in whatever you're saying, Gautam Ji. So thank you so much.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you for singing. We have a lot of impromptu singing at our retreats. So maybe I see you there one day and you can join in the singing.
I'll come fly out to where you are.
Yeah.
I'll come.
Yeah. All the best to you. All the best.
Namaskaram. Thank you. And love to everybody here. This is a very special thing. Hey, we should all be so blessed. Gautam Ji, what you're doing is amazing. And even your student, Jagjot, is doing a great job. And I'm just so blessed to be a part of something like this with such a spiritual community of like-minded people. You know, Sadhu Satsang, Ramakrishna say, right? Sadhu Satsang. And you're doing it, Gautam Ji. My pranams.
I'm not doing it. That's the problem.
I know. What I'm saying is, you're an instrument in all this.
We all are. Thank you. Where are you?
No, but you're a fulcrum, and so we're all gravitating towards you right now. Keep that in mind. So I hope you keep it up, and I hope you never get exhausted.
I hope so too, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah. Please don't get tired. Please take care of your family.
Thank you.
Hariyam, I'll mute myself. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, last question, Ishwar. Splendid. Yeah. Ishwar?
Yeah.
I'm blessed because I have people with names like Krishna, Ishwar, etc., asking me questions. I am the one who's humble. Prasad. Yeah, tell me. Ira.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So you are already highest peak of peace, that is Gautam. Your name is not less also, okay? So my question is...
You know, there are three Gautams in my building. It's that common a name. But I'll tell you something funny. At Rameshji Satsangs, foreigners sometimes could not get my name pronunciation when we would introduce each other. So they would ask me, can you repeat that? And so then I would find myself saying, have you heard of the Buddha? They would say, oh, yes. Oh, Gautam. till I met an American and again, he could not get my name. And I said, have you heard of the Buddha? And he said, no. And so I said, now, how do we approach this? So I said, but you must have heard of Gotham City in Batman. Oh, yes, Gautam. So yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah, here in India, I think very rarely, I think nobody will say that we have not heard of Gautam as such. Okay?
Yes,
so
yes.
It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah. So coming to my question, who are now in the panel or maybe in this path, they would have, everybody would have come across like, they want to do something which is like, what is our goal of life? They would have had all these questions and then they would have come to this path of knowing what is the true meaning of life and then what we should be doing to achieve whatever, right? So these are the big questions which they would have come across and then they would have come for this path of knowing knowing the self, right? But when you somehow you will go to Bhakti Marga as well. So they say that this path of knowing or path of knowledge is very difficult. So Bhakti Marga in this Kali Yuga is the only way to achieve the highest is what the Bhakti Marga says. So what is your take on that?
My take, Ishwar, is one has to go with one's inclination. If one is inclined to jnana, one follows that. If one is inclined to bhakti, one follows that. And what I like to use the term, which is used in ancient India, Advaita Bhakti. Jnana is Advaita Bhakti. Why? When you see God in everyone, when you see everyone in your life is an instrument of God, isn't that the ultimate bhakti? When you start living this way, that all happenings in my life are God ordained, pleasure and pain. When you start living your life, that the people who love me and the people who trouble me are both instruments of the one source consciousness. Isn't that the ultimate bhakti? So we should not get too stuck on the words jnana and bhakti, because both of these, when they are lived, not when they are sadhana, not when they are coming with preconceived notions, when it's living the teachings, we find that the result is the same, which is a deep peace. As I began by saying, ananda, a deep contentment, a deep satisfaction, a deep peace. So one goes with the flow based on one's inclinations. Someone may find the jnana mark too difficult. They are of a simpler mindset. They may go to something else like japa, japa sadhana. There are so many sadhanas. Goraknath himself introduced more than 60,000 ways to attain liberation. Most of them have been lost. So you may go with where you feel naturally inclined to go.
Yeah, so, yeah, Gautam, but thing is, when we are tuned into these, means any of the gurus' teachings, we are listening to them, then we find peace. I think there is no doubt to anybody that we find peace and we feel that we belong here, right? But whereas, like, if we like this satsang is over, right? So then our day-to-day life begins and I don't find anywhere that this whatever divine feeling which I have when I'm tuned in is helping or in any way it is like in my day-to-day life it is coming up in some or adding something. I don't feel or maybe I don't see that happening. So how... what should we do about that as well?
See, Ishwar, that is because one is operating on conditioning of decades. So we are bound to repeat patterns. We are bound to be at conflict. We are bound to lose our peace of mind. But the fact that at satsang or when you hear gurus or teachers, you're feeling that peace, that has also happened. So what will happen after that is, day by day, over time, you will find a recalibration of your own reactions to events and people in your life. That has to be allowed to happen. As I said before, it's not going to happen overnight. But now that you know where is my peace to be found in so-and-so guru or so-and-so teaching or whatever it may be, you can just relook at the events of the day and they get really seen in the new light by and by. As my teacher would say, getting the driving license does not mean you are going to be able to drive through heavy traffic immediately. It's going to take practice. It's going to take time. And maybe after driving over 2-3 years, when you are driving effortlessly through heavy traffic on a road which you must have thought I could never drive on this road when I got my driving license, then you know that the teachings have delivered to you peace of mind in daily living. So do allow it to take its course.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. I think we've run out of time and I'd like to just sit with you all in 2 minutes, for 2 minutes silence. I will change the settings again. Just a sec. Once again, I'm sorry about the initial hiccup with the bad connection. I do hope it was caught in the recording, so that we can watch it on YouTube at some point. And I would say this. The people in your life who you feel enriched by, the people in your life, family, friends, whoever it may be, you feel perhaps I've taken them for granted because they've been the quiet ones. Being with them is also satsang. Satsang does not mean you just have to sit with teachers and gurus. Satsang means the company of truth. That is why the masters say, the company we keep. Is very important on this journey. And you may find there are those on the spiritual journey who you know, who you also don't get along with. They are on their own spiritual journey. Satsang means understanding the dynamics of the relationship. What is at play? Each relationship makes us learn about ourselves, the feelings inside us, and the content of our consciousness. There is truly nothing outside. Yes, there may be relationships which are abusive, which you feel there's no way out except moving away. And then that decision is also taken, but without any condemnation and hatred. Because you have absolved the person of the sense of doership. So even those relationships are learning. That also becomes satsang. And then you realize your daily living is one big satsang. Daily living is satsang. Daily living is your greatest teacher, your greatest guru. A guru is a postman. Sends you an email in the olden days, a letter by post, and you read the message and you say, wow, this really has moved me. Guru is the instrument of consciousness. Guru means consciousness. But that guru, that embodied personal form of a guru delivers you to constant satsang, constant company of truth.